everybody, and welcome back to Anime Cult, episode 13 or 14, one of those. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by my other two wonderful hosts, Indie Mouse and Dodger. Hello, you guys.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
And it's an exciting day because we're talking about, it's the end of Mob Psycho.
We did 100, it!
It's season three.
Is this a full series? Like the first time we've done a multiple season series?
I think so.
I guess like Death Note and stuff is finished and Evangelion, but yeah.
But Eva was just one season, right?
They're remaking it.
Well, yeah, again?
Yeah, with someone well known. I forgot. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh. That guy does Nier.
Nier.
Oh,
yeah,
I have so many movies I still need to watch for Eva. I still don't even know what the current lore is. There's a whole Eva pilot I'm not even aware of from the movies and shit, so I don't fucking know.
Well, you gotta catch up because they're redoing the season again.
We'll just slap it on our schedule and we'll just watch it again when it comes out. It's fine. Today is Mob Psycho 100 season 3, though, the end of the show, originally airing in October and December of 2022. I didn't realize it was actually that long ago. Before we dive into it, a fucking best season out of all of them. I would arguably say season 3 was probably my favorite season.
Is it because of the alien episode that I hate?
No.
You don't like the anime aliens? The Uwu aliens?
I didn't mind. I just thought there was something wrong with that episode. Why didn't they have faces so many times? I'm like, I thought it was like a meta joke happening. And I was expecting it was MA 15, which is for violence and stuff, and I thought there was going to be a drop or something, but no, it was just kind of an alien episode that you never revisit, and this is the end of the show, so that's never coming back. It was a weird season. I don't think it's as good as 2 or 3, 2 or 1,
really?
But the ending, incredible, but we'll get to that.
Oh yeah, that's the last stretch of 4 episodes is fucking great. What about you then, Dodger? How do you feel about the season overall compared to the other two?
I think this season is the most cohesive. I think the animation's the best, and it from start to finish has a through line, and you can see there's stuff that happens in the first couple of episodes where you're like, oh, that's why that was going on, which I liked. I liked that. And with the last season, everything felt more it was all part of a big picture story, you know?
Yeah, I think that's probably, I think you're hitting the nail on the head as to why I like this season, I think, more than the other two, is that there was way more of an arc. There was less disparate episodes. There was, like you said, a through line through it all. And I really enjoyed the dimple kind of arc.
Golden dimple.
Let's get into the episode's breakdown real quick. I have this shit written down as always. So episodes 1 and 2 are really the setup episodes. The first episode, it's about Mob who can't figure out what he wants to do with his life. It opens up with the conversations of him and his peers talking about where they're going to go and applying for college and jobs and what they're going to do in their future. Career forms are due and he's got nothing. Meanwhile, Reagan's office is running smooth with Sarazawa on board, and there's a new client whose haunted apartment turns out to be a guy drowning in regret. His emotional spiral is literally feeding the spirit. And then all during this, the giant broccoli from the season 2 finale is now worshipped as the divine tree by the Psycho Helmet cult, and Misato pushes Mob to become their leader. He declines, and then that's when Dimple is lurking at the top of the tree and begins scheming about what he's going to do next.
Bro, you should say yes, and we could rule it together.
yeah, absolutely evil shit.
I thought he turned around from, in season 1, he's like, yeah, I want to become a god. I'm just going to use this guy. But then season 2, he was in Mob's corner, and he saved him multiple times with it.
Yeah.
And then I felt like out of nowhere, he just wanted to be evil again. So I was expecting something to be controlling Dimple, but I guess he just wanted to do something different and evil.
He was like, I can have it all. I can have friends and be evil.
I feel like it fell off immediately. He's like, oh, I don't want to be evil anymore because you know what? Mob's still a cool guy. So that was one of the things, because I thought the tree stuff and that whole thing was going to be the arc for the whole season, but it kind of ends 4 or 5 episodes in.
Yeah, episode 6.
Yeah, it wraps up pretty quickly because we have to get to Mob being the actual villain.
Yeah, the problem.
Yeah.
Dimple storyline, I kind of, the through line for me of that story is like, I think the message is like a mirror for what is eventually going to happen to Mob, where like, even if you think you kind of put away these darker feelings or these urges or whatever you have as an individual, there, some thought parts are just always there with you, whether they be intrusive thoughts or impulsive decisions. I think that was like the thing with Dimple is like, one of the episodes is he gets carried away 100%, pops up in an episode at one point, and like that's his shtick, is like he gets grandiose and delusional and kind of just lets it go to his head too much. And I think that's like the darker side of Dimple. Like, we all have that dark side. And it, when Mob was like, oh, I just need to put my powers away because it's feeding into your ego that I'm like fighting back. Mm. Let's just talk. I can trust you. You're not going to hurt me because I know you. And in that shit, I was like,
yeah, the monkey like, shirt. The monkey
the,
shirt.
The monkey so- shirt. I was so happy when that came back, man. Yeah.
You're the only one that's told me the truth that this shirt sucks. Everyone else is like glazing him and like pretending that it was a good shirt. I really like that shirt personally, but that's fair enough.
I want that shirt. It's got to be out there. They've got to have made that shirt.
That can be the first anime cult merch, the monkey shirt from Mob season 3.
That's what I saw that whole thing as, like, and also the glamour shots of Golden Dimple's ass constantly were incredible. He has an ass that rivals the Mothman statue out here in America.
He's, I feel like it was very much a Golden Frieza kind of
100%.
Thing. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is super cool.
Right. I had that same exact thought when he showed up. And as Dodger said earlier, like, the art shit in this season insane. Was fucking incredible. Like, every fight looked so good. And as we come to the end of that arc, of the Dimple arc, where he is basically wanting to be a god again, and Mob's like, let's not do that. Like, let's like be friends and talk. I realize I kind of ignored you, and that's why you went and did this shit. All the praise made the god of the cult conscious through the tree.
That
and
see again?
No, he fights.
So they
the
fight.
Out of it. Well, yeah.
My understanding of it was that Dimple had inhabited the tree, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And him inhabiting the tree gave it enough energy that it was able to stay sentient even without Dimple.
Yeah. Dimple
fights. I'm willing to go
it.
Along yeah. with you know, the magic bullshit of this world. I'm down for that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it shows it. Doesn't it show them following Mob out after it's all over? It showed, mm-hmm. like, the fake Mob for a second.
It
like,
showed,
right at the end.
Did it? I don't remember that. Like, I remember because he, like, told him to leave. It was, like, my last. He was, like, he's weak enough where I can brainwash him and I'll just make him go home. And he did, and he went home, and at the end he's like, Mob's like, I can't remember anything. He was crying in bed, and they show on the TV the broccoli in the sky looking like, I'm assuming, getting launched into the ocean.
Took it into space, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember another one of the those things surviving, but I could be misremembering. I did watch this entire season in one day.
Holy.
I really loved it. I was like, I'm watching all of this. I'm not stopping.
You watch dub, right?
Yes. Which?
Yeah. So elephant in the room.
Yes.
Mob voice actor change, which.
Did it?
Yeah. So not, the original.
He did his best to try and sound like him, but it wasn't. It didn't have that.
So I'm just a fucking idiot because I didn't know the whole time. I could not tell the difference.
I assume, like, it's easy to forgive because it's like, oh, he's going through puberty. As a kid, like Mob's going through puberty, so. But you can tell there was a union thing with the original actor. They didn't want to have his union on board Crunchyroll, so they just said,
"Oh,
yes,
we
yeah,
don't
it was
need
a
you
union
anymore."
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah, so, it sucks. It's like,
sucks.
You know, the voice actor did it. I couldn't tell. I like, fucking, I didn't know about it until after, and I was putting the episode together. I was like, "Oh shit!" Well,
I mean, that's good. That's good. You couldn't tell. But like, when I could tell and I'm like, man, everything he says is a little off. And it's like,
I don't watch it. I've seen clips, but Rick and Morty, you know, the new voice actors for Rick and Morty. It's like they do a really good job at being really close. But there's certain things that they say where you're like, oh, you're not exactly the same.
Yeah,
you know,
like
obviously.
Some of Mob's lines were like perfect. And then when he had to do something new that wasn't from the original two seasons, it's like, oh, that's a little, that doesn't sound right. But again, you can just say he's growing up. So it sounded a bit deeper and stuff. But
Yeah. After the dimple arc is where we get to what I consider the closest thing to like filler episode. The dimple arc, yeah. The dimple arc.
You said dimp arc, and I was like, I love that.
Dude, the dimp arc. Dimp arc. Dimp arc. And then we moved on. That's what they called this fucking two butt cheeks every time they fucking entered the frame. The next two episodes were basically what I guess you could consider these are the alien episodes. These are like the filler episodes, really. And the first one, what was that?
Indy's favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, Indy's favorite. Yeah, Indy, you want to tell us about these two episodes?
Yeah, so they are going to search for an alien because they have a telekinesis person that was one of the original members that decided to leave the telepathy club. And he comes back and they're like, oh, yeah, I've had telepathic skills this whole time. Let's go find aliens because that's what the leader, what's her name? Kiwazaki?
Let's see.
Whoever the leader of the telepathic club is, all she cares about is finding aliens. She's the madness of...
She's sad because they're going to graduate and she's like, we never found aliens. Never got we to have see no aliens. Telepaths.
That's me IRL.
So the whole decides to try and like make it worth it for her.
Yeah. And it's like a really wholesome episode where they're going up the mountain, but what it's just animated very oddly. Like a lot of the time they're talking, they don't have faces. And I thought there was like, it was like the aliens were interfering with like the animation style or something weird like that. But I have no idea why.
I partially wonder if it's like the Ava budget situation where they're like, save for all the episodes at the end. Yeah. These two episodes are going to take a hit. Like, yeah, no faces. We don't have to worry about mouths. Like, and none of that.
It happened so many times in a row where I'm like, okay, it's not. Because they've never done that before. Like, they've never had like, oh, let's not animate their faces while they're talking. Literally blank faces like as they're talking. So I'm like, something's going on. And then with the warning at the start of the rating, I'm like, there's going to be like a drop. So I think I psyched myself out of this episode when it just happened and they find aliens and they all trade stuff and I don't know his name, the kid that gets stuck up there with the aliens for God
Mamita
knows how
gets
long.
Gets stuck behind there and he lives as alien royalty.
He lives as an alien and then he just comes
and then he like, forgets everything.
He comes back and then it's like, it's crazy. It. It's like a reset of a cartoon episode at the end.
I agree. Like, it was the weakest of the episodes. I do love me an alien episode, but it wasn't exactly like the strongest of the episodes. It was fun.
It's directly into like the episode, or at least two episodes after, was the car crash, right? Which is when
the next episode. Yeah. So, because like this 7 and 8 were aliens.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
this
is right after
like,
that, they announced that Tsubomi is moving. And then all the boys
all the boys have to. She's got like a lineup. That's crazy.
Yeah. That is what moves into episode 9. Exactly. Mob learns Tsubomi is moving away and decides he has to confess to her that he has feelings for her before she leaves. And like you said, he watches classmate after classmate confess and get rejected over and over. Misato challenges him on why he likes her and he can't really articulate why. And then Reagan and Sarazawa give him advice. He calls Tsubomi and arranges to meet at a park after school. Teru suggests he brings flowers, which is when he goes to Minagishi, the former Claw member, and he gets an upgraded bouquet for free as a thank you from him. And then on the way to the park, they get to a crosswalk, and he's standing there with a little kid who's playing on his like DS or whatever, and the crosswalk turns green. The boy starts walking first as Mob grabs his backpack, as they're waiting, sorry, a cat ran across first.
Yeah, and he saves the cat, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He uses psychic power, stops the car, cat lives, thank God. And then the kid starts crossing after it goes, and then a bus comes. And I don't understand why Mob didn't use his powers to save the child too, but in this moment, Mob's like, self-sacrifice. And he just throws his body, knocks the kid out of the way, and gets completely hit by a truck.
Imagine if that was the way Mob went out.
Just the end of the series in the next three episodes. So it's just like funeral, wake, procession.
Yeah. And it's another thing that I bring back the alien episode, all their phones stop working and their alarms don't work. And I'm like, this all has to be leading to something. Like, they're all, like, Reagan's alarm doesn't go off. The new telepathic kid's alarm doesn't go off. And they're like, oh, we can't get in contact. His phone must be off. Oh, his phone must be off.
Do you think they did that on purpose?
Yeah, like, well,
they set up this episode to be like, it's going to be wholesome, or is it? No, yeah, it is. Yeah, like, and now like, everything's going to be terrible from here on out.
Maybe.
It could be like the Mob House fire from season 2. Like, it was fine. Yeah. all episode, and then at the end it's just the most horrific thing. So maybe I was expecting like another one of those, but yeah, just a lot of like red herrings where they're like, oh, the phones aren't working, why aren't their faces animated, like,
yeah,
like it was like, and they're going up the hill, oh, no one's gonna be able to contact us up here. I'm like, what is gonna happen up here that is gonna be horrible? And then it's just like the weeb girly aliens. But anyway, onto the best four episodes of like this season, I think.
Yeah. So after he gets hit by a truck, fucking the next episode starts with him laying Yamcha style in the street, bleeding out, and then there's just a one frame transfer to like a ground cracked all around him, and it's just like a thunder crack, and you're just like, oh fuck. And Mob just fucking gets up and starts walking. And every step he takes is like an earthquake throughout
so
the city.
Sick. It is so sick. Like the way everyone can hear it. Like it goes to Reagan and they think it's an earthquake. Oh man, it's so cool seeing the blackout mob.
The way he's drawn when he's in this mode is just like phenomenal. I love it.
So cool. Yeah.
It's that sketchy line that just like, it just translates to unstable so well of just like, you just get it. You get, what's going on here, which actually brings me to a weird nitpicky complaint, which is just me, my personal taste with anime sometimes, where like they do such a good job with the art and often what's going on screen to really just tell you, there's a lot of show don't tell, but then just in case you don't get it, like Reagan or like his brother is like, oh, it's the other part of him. It's the dark side of him that split when he was hurt and young and then he put himself away. It's like, you could just let the show do that.
Like, yeah, like we showed that in season one, the whole flashback of him saving his brother Ritsu, and yeah, there I did notice stuff like that a lot more during this season that
I
don't
want to
say less
because,
intelligent,
like,
but like it dumbed down some stuff, I feel like, opposed to season one and two.
I wonder if it's just they were just rehashing stuff because there was a long time frame between seasons. I don't know how, like, Dodger, in like seasonal anime, how many, is there like a year between seasons? Is it shorter, longer, like for stuff?
It's normally about a year.
Okay, that's actually like super quick turnaround.
I don't recall how much time was between these seasons because it was around COVID.
Yeah, that was a bit of a longer gap, I think.
But yeah, I agree though, because we have that whole, and arguably it's in another episode, but we have an entire conversation that Mob has with himself about what happened and who he is and what this split part of him is and all the, you know, we don't need other characters to be like, wait, is this the other Mob?
Just like when we were a child and I saw this once when he was, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
It was so well done as well with the, like the dark Mob with all the bits of like paper skin coming off the real Mob. And then
I love that.
That's all you need. Cool. Like we get it.
That's exactly like the art is done so well and it's so thematically on point. You don't need that. Let the artist speak or let the art itself of the animation speak, because you could do things like that where you can't do in live action stuff. Like that should be the strength of this, is being able to do like that effect to talk about a little bit, where there's this moment on the inside subconsciously, you kind of have what you learn at Dark Mob, which is basically his emotions, his emotional side.
And he's held away for way too long. Yeah.
Yeah. He's bottled everything up. And like in real life, if you do that eventually, it will fucking explode. It doesn't go away. And then you have the calm Mob kind of going back and forth. And during it, it's the end of episode two, where it kind of the first peel happens. You see regular, like calm Mob, like begins to rip like paper and flow over to this void shape of Mob and start placing it onto him. And when that was happening, I literally had that thought of like, this is so. Like, I love this. It's speaking volumes without having to say shit. It's so perfectly done, which is, and I just keep, we keep coming, we say it over and over again, but the art is so good. It's crazy to me. And I guess like looking back at his original comics now, it's crazy to me that this guy's art style at one point was seen as like terrible, because he's clearly got the mind, like he has the right thoughts up there. I don't know how much control. Was it like super faithful to the manga? Like I didn't read the manga, but I know it was adapted from the manga. Was it like, have any, either of you read the manga at all?
Yeah, I've read the manga.
How faithful is it?
I mean, it's pretty one-to-one, honestly. Like,
that's awesome.
I think for One Punch Man and for this, The general consensus is whether or not you like one's original art, you can't deny that he's great at storytelling.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the perfect way of putting it is like, yeah, it's this, his storytelling ability. Like you just see in every frame and every idea what he's trying to do. So yeah, I guess it's kind of wheel back to the little complaints. Like, that's why I don't need that. Like, you don't need to explain it to me. You're doing a phenomenal job showing me.
You're doing great, sweetie.
Shout out to Chad Mobb as well. I think he was in episode 3 or something where he kept getting the big.
He's getting popular arc was like during that thing. And every time they cut to like fucking butt chin like Chad Mobb, it was amazing. It was amazing.
It was so good.
And during this, like, while Mob's, like, marching, the first person to try to stop him is Teru. And he gets one last hair embarrassment out of the whole shtick, which is...
I said out loud to the person I was watching with, I'm like, oh, at least he didn't go bald and naked. Immediately, Mob blasts him away, and he's got the blue bald hair. He's naked again on the ground. I liked Mob walking through, all his old friends, or some of them, and, like, just...
Yeah.
Like, they had their, like, moments to talk with this mob. And get their ass beaten. The katana guy and the OG, the lip ring guy. I forgot he was from season 1.
So, when the scene happened before Mob went crazy, right? When he was getting the flowers, and you know, one of the dudes was working at the flower shop and gave him a bigger bouquet. I was like, oh, this is gonna be like, you know, one of those scenes where everybody that Mob has helped along the way is now going to help him, right? He's going to go to a bunch of stores and things to get ready to go talk to Tsubomi, and everybody's going to like give him a word of advice or give him something to help him, and it's going to be really wholesome. And then he gets hit by a car, right?
yeah.
So the drop being... that I thought was coming was just a little later than
I feel like what winds up happening is sort of He still gets that, but in like a really different way, right? Like he still gets that all of these people who have started to love him and care for him and that he's helped and been involved with, he still sees all of those people. It's just under really horrendous circumstances instead, you know?
Yeah.
I guess it's better for him because it's him seeing everyone in his normal state. He just doesn't have the emotional capacity to accept or like be able to talk. So if seeing only his emotions was, apart from having your ass absolutely beat, he probably took a lot of that in better as this like demon form that slowly walked through the streets.
I very much like this version of it too, because it allows them to do it. Basically, it's everything Mob did for them, where he would put himself in danger, even if he died, to sit with these people because he knew they were good people and that there was like, you know, their dark side isn't who they are. And we, instead of, you know, we get to see this, them do the same thing. They put themselves in danger because it's what Mob did for them. And it's what real relationships and friendships is like, is knowing the individual is going to fuck up. You're a human being. And this is the worst, like this is a psychic battle. It's the message the whole show, every season has been is like, you're going to fuck up. People fuck up. Don't let that condemn them. Like, don't let that be the only thing that you judge these people for. And
during this, oh, sorry, go finish.
No, I was just going to all say is the messages with Mob is like, and you, no matter how good you are at managing yourself, you will also eventually fuck up, and you need your friends help. To be patient with you when you do.
Yeah. I really liked the helicopter scene where they're bringing in these like elite psychics from prison, and I'm like, oh come on, man! Like, who are these?
Suicide Squad. And then
Suicide Squad, and then it has the president of like season 2, the final boss. I'm like, oh okay, never mind. Like this guy might be able to do. It. He gets his ass beat, and he's like, you know what? This isn't my fight, and he just goes all the way with his son. risk it all. He's like, I'm just going to die here if it means I can help this kid. And then he looks back at his son, and he has the flashback of like leaving his wife and his son back in the day, and he's like, no, you know what? Not my fight, not worth it. Let's just leave. I thought that was really good.
I love that. Like, it's just funny, but it's also a nuanced take in like a genre, I think, that is often lacking nuanced characters. Like, and him, like, I understand, like, when all they did was that flashback of him leaving his wife and his kid and the look on his face of like, I've done this before. Let me give myself time with my kid for once. And like, I get that selfish decision. Like, I appreciated that.
Because this was his first inclination was, if I'm going to make a different choice here and be a different person, then I should sacrifice myself here. Right. But actually, the better choice for him to make was to stick around and be there as a dad. Right.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I liked that too, because it is very like anti-Goku, right?
It is, yes, it is extremely
like, you're not Goku, man, just go home.
Just get out of there, dude.
Yeah, Goku does look for any chance to kill himself as he can.
Any chance to leave.
Yes, Goku, I get to die.
He's a sociopath, man. He doesn't, like, what do you do when you realize you're immortal and gods will let you come back to life as many times as you want? Just throw yourself into any fight, who gives a fuck? Like, you can't be touched. Then I think after that, he runs into his athletic crew, which I forget the name of.
Body Improvement Club. So good as well.
One of my favorite scenes. They're all posed like the fucking squad that they are.
They
all charge him with one blast, all of them but one. And I'm surprised one didn't get blown away. Get locked hands, and then he gets fucking sent flying.
Yeah.
Who saved him?
It wasn't the main one. It was the the bold one?
Yeah, but who saved him like from flying? Because he was flying, he was gonna die, wasn't he? And then like somebody stopped him from hitting something, or am I misremembering?
Was it Ritsu? Because that's when Ritsu comes as well.
Ritsu shows up and saves them.
That's what it is.
And this is where we get to see Ritsu 100% as well. Ritsu, which doesn't 100%. doesn't last long, but it's cool that he got his power up that like he never got to have.
I smiled like a fucking kid when that happened. It was like watching Goku go Super Saiyan. For me, I was like, that happened. I grinned, and then, like you said, it was over.
I knew that they weren't going to be like, oh, but Ritsu is stronger than Mob. It's like, no, he tried his best and like talked to him a little bit to get.
I thought he might be able to emotionally connect with Mob more than he did, but yeah, I guess that wasn't really the point of that scene.
I feel like because Reagan had to be the one to stop him, Ritsu was just an add-on.
Ritsu came like a bigger character later. The Reagan stuff was my favorite part of this stuff, man, because he just solidified himself as my favorite character of the show. Yeah. Like this last bit, he has to get into the tornado. That is Mob. And when he does, and he goes he finally gets to Mob, and he's like, the whole way he's in there, the scenes of him like clutching onto debris and poles and getting whipped around and like shouting for Mob.
Is this when they play the season one intro song as well?
I think
it's so good. I love when they bring back old like season intro songs.
He eventually gets to Mob. He's like, I got to tell you something, dude. I have to tell you something. Please let me tell you something. And then he finally locks arms with Mob, and I think they do this every season, and every season it gets me because I'm like, oh shit, he's going to tell him he has powers. I was like, oh fuck. And then
you see the red cheeks. You're like, fuck me. Yeah. Dimple.
I'm like, how am I still this gullible every single time?
It's Reagan like, would have us fooled, and like in real life, if we knew Reagan, he'd have us fucking around his fingers. It would be.
Yeah, dude, I would have been volunteering my time for Reagan, thinking that he would eventually pay me big dollars. Like, 100%.
He's going to take me to aliens. I know it.
I know he will. He would promise me, and I would believe him until the day he died. So Dimple's like possessing him to help him get to him. And he finally gets a chance to talk to Mob. And I'm like, I'm so curious what the fuck he's going to say. Because I'm like, I thought it was powers. It's not. What is he going to say? And he just immediately says, I have no powers. I've been lying to you this whole time. And I'm like, he knows, bro. Like, doesn't he know? Like, they literally inner dark Mob.
He never admitted it. I think
he never admitted
it.
Yeah. And I think that was the point. But I remember him saying that. I was in the moment. I'm like, really? That's what we're going to go with? But it stopped him dead. It actually completely worked.
It was more of a way to show that. Because he thought, he was convinced Reagan was just using him and just for personal reasons. And this was like a way of Reagan being like, okay, never mind. He can't use me anymore after he said this. So he must be here for like legitimate reasons of caring about
Dodger and you are completely correct. I was just, I don't know. I guess I just believe Reagan everything. Like, I just am like surprised. I'm like, oh, he's got something I don't know.
You were like, he doesn't have powers?
God damn it, dude. I know there's no season four, but if they did, it could be the whole arc of the show would be like, he doesn't have powers at the very end. If he's like, I have powers, I would believe him. I'm like, holy shit. I knew it. I fucking knew it this whole time. God damn it. Fucking great, though. I mean, it's the way it has to, like you said, it kind of the way it had to go. Like, Reagan had to be the one to, like, get through because, and like you said, it does show that it's like, oh, he's letting his guard down because he cares about Mop. Like, he does give a shit about this kid and wants the best for him, even if he's a lying piece of shit. I mean, and he talks about it then in that moment of, like, it's all he knows, really. Like, it's what kept him safe.
But he's also, in that moment, being a good role model, right? He's, mm-hmm. like, displaying vulnerability. Like, part of accepting yourself is accepting your vulnerabilities.
Yeah. He becomes the kind of mentor he always saw him as. Or,
an
like, you know.
Actual mentor. Yeah.
He actually became the mentor that he pretended to be in that moment.
And he does lie a lot, but. A lot of, like, dad figure from Reagan for, like, all characters throughout this whole, all three seasons, Reagan is like a dad. Because these are just kids. Like, at the end of the day, a lot of these are just kids. And Reagan, even though he has no powers, he's the only half-responsible one there that has to, like, keep things in check. Certainly in season two when they have, like, that secret hideout and they're hiding away. And he's like, we should just call the police. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is your kids. This is not going to happen. And, like, any sane adult person would be like that as well. If there was, like, a bunch of kids running around and, like, the world's ending, you'd be like, what? Like, we need authorities or something in here. Like, let's not send out the kids with superpowers to kill, like, these secret agents.
I mean that is exactly why I love that fucking character, man. Like, I shouldn't say it this way, but I love those little boys. But yeah. Reagan is, like, my favorite. he's just, like, he's great, man. He really is a great, like, representation of what a real life adult is often like, which is just like a facade of bullshit and lies underneath is a vulnerable person who's scared of everything.
An incredible English voice actor as well. I couldn't imagine anyone but him as Reagan now. Like, if they had to get rid of him, that would have been devastating.
I agree. I don't know what the subset version of him sounds like, but holy fuck, the English VO for him is incredible. I
mean, he sounds smarmy, you know?
Yeah, I imagine. Hell, season three opens up with him doing his super surprise rice attack, and I love the narrator when he talks about his super moves.
We get like three of them every three episodes, just his moves that are just, certainly in season two where he just surprises him with like the drop kick and the shoulder jab and
it's
stuff.
Just literally sucker punches and shit. It's like his superpower is catching you off guard. But Reagan can breaks through, which allows Mob to kind of like speak and like to his darker half again and just essentially be like, let's just do this together. Like, we need, like, we're part of the same whole. Like, I get it. Like, you're like, I'll feel my emotions. I'll be able to like regulate them and allow myself to feel, and we'll just face this shit together. And his darker half basically says, but what if she rejects us? And which is such like a kid at that age is like main concern, the end of the world.
Everything. Everything for him right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's such a perfect like line, I think, for the dark half to say is like, well, what if she rejects us? But Mom's like, we'll get through it together, man. And things kind of like calm down. I know that they evacuated everything, but goddamn, people died. In my mind, people died in that.
Same. That was my feeling at the end of the season, too, was like, bro.
So people talk.
Like, how do we even come back from this? Like, this I realize that you can take this whole show as a metaphor, but like, my God.
You annihilated an entire city, dude.
Because
that was like one of my first thoughts, too, because when he finally calms down, he's like, I guess I'll go ask her out. And he literally goes from fucking annihilating a city to walking right over to her. And I just was like, people are dead. Like, there's emergencies happening. Like, you need to, like, it's fires.
No, he has to complete his arc.
He's got to complete his arc. Sorry, you're right. When it cut to, he comes back and he's smiling. And he goes, she rejected me, which immediately leads to him crying. Which is, like, the first time we see Mob allow himself to feel. And I really appreciate the emotion is a sad emotion. I really appreciate it was not like joy and she said yes and he allows himself to be happy. I like that it was a negative emotion because that's fucking life, baby. Like, that's how it goes sometimes. And for a weird little nerd like Mob, that also makes the most sense at that age. And I love that. I love we see him cry and I love that we see him allow him to feel his shit again, his emotions again. And it's just beautiful. Dude, the show, for as beautiful as the art is and the combat is, just a beautiful message through the all three seasons, as silly as it was, all of the characters were, they mean a lot to me. Like the show was fucking great.
Very, very feel good, which I think is very good. The most heartwarming scene, of course, Reagan gets his birthday surprise. Like, people actually celebrate his birthday and like care that he exists. In like the, I guess, the post credits scene, they have a little Reagan surprise birthday and like the whole crew's there. And they hint that Mob and Sobolmi are like talking and like still like friends. So there is somewhat of a, it's not like a miserable ending for Mob. He still has all his friends and he's, yeah, it was a really good ending.
Yeah, this felt, it's one of the weird thoughts I had, and I don't know how real it'll sit with you, but it felt like a show that wanted to be a slice of life anime for the fighting anime fans.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. That's kind of the feeling I got out of it. It was like, I could see this show also have been like a slice of life show about this kid dealing with emotions and like living, you know, just kind of regular life, and it being, you know, just as engaging in a different way. But I really loved everything about how the show looked with the psychic powers and shit. And I love the restraint they had with them a lot of the time too. And they really would go all out at the end of every season. Fucking, you weren't kidding me when you guys were saying this show was like something special, because I loved it. It was phenomenal. I adored this show.
So glad.
I'm assuming you both feel similarly.
Yeah. I thought, like we've said before, I think it's in both me and Doug's top five anime of all time. So it's just...
Yeah, I can see that. I'd have to sit and think, but I feel like with my limited experience with, like, honestly, like, with anime, it kind of just immediately sits at the very top of, like...
I mean, that's fair enough. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, something we've watched that has, like, touched you as much as Mob has, and while we've enjoyed... Like, Odd Taxi was, like, super cool, and, like... Yeah, like, I really enjoyed that. Nothing, I mean, Death Note's my favorite of all time, but that's
like Ava for me. I can't help
like
it.
Yeah, like, you can't get it. And it's same with, like, Dragon Ball, but Mob is,
but
like,
I can also
three,
say Dragon Ball is, the story gets shit real quick, but I also just love, I love everything about DBZ. Yeah. Absolutely. Mob is probably be in my top five at this point. What a phenomenal fucking ride. I really, really enjoyed it and kind of bummed it's over.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard follow-up, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, speaking of our follow-up, what's the next anime we are watching, Dodger? I can't remember the name of it.
Gachiakuta?
Yeah, that.
That is a newer anime for those of you who are like, God, I want them to watch something recent. Literally... just happened. I think Indy already watched all of it.
Yeah. I watched it a month ago, so I don't need to do a rewatch. So we'll have to figure out what the one after is so I can start that as well.
This
is a 24, so we do need a 12 as well to a shorter one.
I don't really know. Like, that's on you. You got to tell me what shorter ones we need out there.
Yeah, we'll have to check.
Yeah, we can pitch a couple.
Yeah. But Gachiakuta, is that how you say it?
Gachiakuta.
I'm excited.
Super
to
cool. Super.
I don't know shit about it. I literally haven't even started.
Yeah,
yet,
no,
so.
Yeah. Go
not
into me. It blind.
I went into it blind and it was sick. Yeah.
I also went into it blind.
Oh, okay. Shit. All right. I'm gonna start this tomorrow then. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I saw the comments on our previous Mob season two of all the people that watch this or listen to this, and they don't. Some of them said they actively dislike anime. So that's really crazy. That's an honor that, like, that's going to be great when we start TV cult, video game cult.
movie cult. We really branch out.
Book cult. Yeah, it's good that you guys are going to stick around.
Media takeover.
We'll get there.
Yeah, and cult, where we talk about paranormal stuff, and we just
that's just
get rid
Illuminati,
of,
dude.
Get rid
that's
of Illuminati.
No, no, no. That's,
when that show crashes, we can start a new one. And we just cover all the shit we cover in Chulluminati with YouTube.
Chulluminati cult. Yeah,
perfect, perfect.
So fantastic. Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back in not 6 months with another brand new episode for you. Talk about Gachiakuta. And I know nothing about it, and now I'm very excited to see it. That's it for us. We'll see you next time. Next time, goodbye, everybody.
Yeehaw, bye.
Yeehaw, bye.
Oh, yeehaw.